Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
I wanted to talk for a few minutes on Shmini Atzeres, and that beautiful Yom, that beautiful Chag, and amidst the joyous time for Klal Yisrael, we had just had the hostages return, but on Shmini Atzeres, there was a loss for our people. Somebody I was zeicha to admire a lot, and to have a pretty good kesher. I wanted more and have read up since his passing. I've read up more about him, but he's somebody that I admired a lot. And I want to talk to you. Klal Yisrael lost a yid. He was a rav in Baltimore. I'm going to try to talk a little bit about Rabbi Hauer, Rabbi Moshe Hauer. He was a very big person. Now, I don't feel worthy of saying a eulogy for him. I don't know quite enough. And though I was zeicha to benefit from his wisdom, from his warmth, and I did know him, Avi and I met a number of times. I was with Avi and we met him a number of times, and I met him a number of times on my own. I looked up to him a lot. And I don't feel like worthy of being the one. I wish, and maybe I should call down somebody to say a eulogy for him, but I feel wrong not to speak about him. I told you that I promised my kids not to be weird. I think in yeshiva, especially yeshiva like ours, it would be weird not to speak about him, not to talk about the loss, but I want to talk about what he brought, what he was, and a legacy that we can be inspired by and moved by. I want to talk to the guys about. So I want to express that I'm not worthy. I'm not to say a eulogy. I'm not coming from a space that I'm capable of eulogizing this great person. But I would feel wrong not to speak about him. I want to say as well, one of the things my Rebbe did for me, my Rebbe, watching my Rebbe and hearing the people he spoke about, gave me a tremendous sense of idealism. We come from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is not a passive observer of the world. Avram Avinu likes out there announcing, speaking about Hashem, very active. I'm not here. Noach was a tzaddik and Avram Avinu was a tzaddik. And we're right now between Noach and Avram, and they're both huge tzaddikim. And I'm not piling on to Noach. It's very dangerous. You don't rip anybody. Noach, the Torah says, is a tzaddik. You don't, it's not like a leisure. Well, I want to analyze Noach. Now, there's a chazal that criticizes Noach. I could say what chazal say. Me and you would meet Noach. We would be Noach. The Torah Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shem, the creator of us all, who knows the deepest places of us all, testifies about Noach, that Noach is tzaddik. Noach was a tzaddik, a very righteous and incredible person. That being said, Chazal criticized Noach. It's not lost on any of us that nobody was on the teva with him. It's not lost. It's a bother. We once had a guy in the yeshiva, he's married today. He was a very intelligent guy, very. He was bright, very sharp. His biggest cash of his life, it bothered him. I can't give over to, I don't even know why this was like the cash of his life. And it wasn't like Parshas Noach. He was bothered by this during the winter, summer, spring, fall. It was like the question of his life to me. If he had one kash on the Torah, he told me every Meshuggah gets a few chassidim. Every Meshuggah. If a guy wants to be a Rebbe, his mamish nuts will have 4.5 chassidim. You have a few chassidim. It's any Meshuggah, lahavdol by the Goyeshevelt. Every cult leader, you get a few crazies. Anybody, there's always a few crazies. Noach builds a teva, has 120 years to convince people that Hashem's going to destroy the world, and he doesn't get one guy on the teva. I'm not joking, it's a pella, I don't have a teretz. Nobody tell me a junkie. I've heard all different svaras. I don't know the answer. How does Noach not get a guy on the teva? He couldn't get one mishugana like every freak. Get every person ever, get somebody to join every cult, every mishagas, every ism under the sun gets people to join the ism. Communism, Buddhism, this ism, that ism. And here, Noach can't get Tevaism. He can't get one guy on the Teva. It's like, it's a Pella. And
I mean, you're talking about 120 years. You're not even telling them believe in this thing. In 120 years from now, believe in something.
Okay, so when it got closer, then
you got a vision that in 120 years.
Casey couldn't get 120 years before. A day, tomorrow it's coming.
Why did he ever know he's been selling the same product? Nothing came out.
He was a horrible salesman. He couldn't get one. It's a Pella. There was a guy in yeshiva. There was a guy in yeshiva. I'm not joking. It challenged his emunah. There's a guy in yeshiva. He's married. He's a frum guy today. He the whole Torah was troubling to him. I'm telling you honest. He would ask me the cash in the sub. We weren't learning Parashas Noach. The guy was so mad that Noach, he told Rebbe, it bothered him the whole time. It's funny. He might have some neshamadika connection to Noach. I don't know why this guy was. It's most interesting. I have seen guys mad about a lot of things in yeshiva. You know, you see a guy is mad. I've seen people angry at this. This guy, Yehuda, was an interesting thing. This, I wonder today, I spoke to him last year. I didn't ask him, are you still mad? By now, maybe Noach has some people on the table. I don't know if he's still upset. This guy was furious, Evie. It's like an interesting thing. Of all the things you meet people upset about, it bothered him, Tzvi, to no end. Like, to a degree, like, my shemis was sarasayemis. Torah is true. But he couldn't believe the story. He couldn't get a guy on the teva. Nobody. They're like weak sauce to Rutsim. They're weak. Yeah, and Morty said like he. Martha says he was the wrong man for the job. Like this guy couldn't convince one. Maybe he should have found somebody else for the job. A funny, the cash is Eisen. The cash is troubling. No, Simon. Noach couldn't get one person on the teva. Af adam echad lo yirotzeh lekanes la teva. Af adam echad. It's a Pella. So.
The sales pitch was out with that. Didn't everyone get bad actually for the world? What exactly was it?
Do tshuva. Like anybody, do tshuva. Do tshuva. Do tshuva. Say anything, just let it be. It's a Pella. What's Kiva saying?
I said, isn't Nachum more of a guy like a retard than? Like everyone thought he was like
Zicher. Akiva's saying it's not Akiva's saying the people Akiva's saying they thought he's wild.
Yeah.
Akiva's saying they thought Noach like what he's saying. But Akiva he was truth, he was right. They thought he's Mishori. He couldn't convince one person. But it was the truth. But it was the truth.
Yeah, but why would they believe one?
Can you imagine Noach's frustration? I'm telling you, he had one-on-ones with people. Like, you know, he had one-on-ones. Show he's normal. I'll play you basketball. I'll play you football. I'll do soccer. I'm a normal guy. I'm really telling you. Like, no, Noach, you're crazy.
Would you join if it happened today?
Maybe there's a guy building.
I hope so. You hope you could see the truth. I hope if some. You hope it's recognizable. He's really, Yosef, he really was right. He was really right. He was like, I'm telling you, like, no, no, no. He's like, I hear. You would hope, me and you would hope, if we saw something true, we would follow because it's true. He was speaking the truth. It happened.
It's
that's interesting, but he couldn't. Just picture the man that he's telling his neighbors, and they're good friends, like his next door neighbor. They're like best friends. It's like, I promise you, I don't know. For 120 years, he's telling you that, and he doesn't waver, doesn't budge, and he just. And then he hops on the table. He's going on. So, David, this bothers you? Like, it's like, I like that. What? He told him also what he said. He said, do tshuva. I beg you, do tshuva. I'm just telling you, I don't know how to. God told me to build a teva. He said he's destroying the world. It's like the basic. It's amazing. Nobody listens. It's interesting. I want to, as an aside, as a as a total aside, and this is not this is all off.
If you go on the plane, I don't. Maybe one guy.
I mean,
it seems like Ike wasn't really invited in.
So
no one's invited in.
Is he
stupid?
Yeah, no one's invited
in. They're all invited on if you did tshuva.
Oh, yeah.
If you did tshuva, there's no. I'm not asking. Nobody went on. Do tshuva, there's no marble. He was saying something. He's building a table. He's saying, guys, God is destroying the world. If we do tshuva, there's no marble. I'm not talking to somebody go on. If somebody did tshuva and then not enough people, then they'll come on.
It's funny,
Chevra. Nineveh, anybody who knows Nineveh, if you funny, contrast Yonah, Noach to Yonah. Yonah's a Navi from Hashem, and Hashem sends him to the city of Nineveh to tell them to do tshuva, and Yonah doesn't want to say to the city of Nineveh to do tshuva. Does anybody know Chazal why Yonah didn't want to go? Yonah was worried they would do tshuva, and it would be a kitrig on Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael had Nevi'im, and we didn't always listen. Now, some of us listen, but not all of us listen to our Nevi'im. So he didn't want it to be a kitrig. Now, ultimately, a kitrig means like a taina. It will become a complaint against Klal Yisrael when a guy is sitting. Now, ultimately, Yonah goes to Nineveh, and you know what? And he says, God's going to destroy your city. Eliam, what did the people of Nineveh do? They did tshuva. It's funny, the contrast. Yeah, Noah's begging the... Sarvati said, because they saw the marble. Like, Nineveh was... Yonah comes to Nineveh...
Switch Yonah and Noah. I'm saying.
With Noah been as successful as Nineveh, Yonah goes to Nineveh and says, Chevra, God's going to destroy your city, and they do tshuva. Now, it's interesting, and this is totally an aside, and I'm not answering Noach, that Noach doesn't get any tshuva movement. I'm not knocking Noach, chas v'shalom. The Torah calls... Yeah, he comes.
No one's listening. It's
everyone's so... Yeah, very good, very good, very good, Martha. What more you say? Very, Martha says beautiful things. That's what Martha says. Real nice. I like a lot what he said. I like Martha said, by Noach, there weren't tzaddikim around. Martha contrasts that Avram Avinu begs for Sdaim and pleads for them. Noach, you don't find begging. There weren't enough tzaddikim. The Rishonim asked Martha's kasha. That Avraham Avinu begs for Sdaim. You don't find Noach begging for the world. Please don't do it. It's a beautiful kasher. It actually, Chazal criticized Noach. It calls it the May Noach. It calls the marble the May Noach, and he's criticized for something. I'm not coming. Noach's a tzaddik, and it's not something shallow here. These are deep things. I want to get somewhere. I want to say, as a total aside, we're like in the topic of getting people to do tshuva and not. When Nineveh is criticized, the whole city does tshuva. Now, all the guys are saying, and Avram said, it's not so easy to get people to do tshuva. I mean, Noach couldn't get one. If one person did tshuva, he would have been invited on the teva. So Noach couldn't get any. Yonah comes to Nineveh and the whole city does tshuva. I want to say something as a total aside. We're contrasting. Noach can't get anybody to do tshuva, and I'm not ripping or making fun. Noach's a big tzaddik. Don't make fun of Noach at all. At all. You don't make fun of big tzaddikim at all. So I'm clearing. You know what I'm clearing to tell the story. You understand? What story? I'm clearing to tell that story of Light's daughters. You don't make fun of big tzaddikim. Be very careful. Be very careful. You want to hear a story? I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story. We are off topic. We're off topic of off topic. Eli Boletsko. We're way off. We're like, this is off topic to off topic. But just talking about not making fun of tzaddikim, Eliezer. Don't make fun of biblical tzaddikim. Don't. And Hashem says Noach is a tzaddik. You don't start like piling on Noach. Noach is a tzaddik. It's foolish. It's like, now you study Chazal. That's not foolish. And Chazal criticized Noach. Understand it and study it. In Luban was the town. Ramesha Feinstein was the Rav in Luban, the great Ramesha Feinstein. Ramesha Feinstein went to an old man's house, and the man was dying. He was on his deathbed. And the man said his tongue had swollen up, and he died like a day later. And on his deathbed, he told Ramesha Feinstein, he made everybody leave the room. Everybody had to leave the room. Say over the story. Rebezi, say.
No.
Okay. Okay. So what happened is...
You can't get one guy except me.
What happened... You know the story, Michal? The guy says everybody has to leave the room. I want to speak to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And he tells Rabbi Moshe that he had made fun of Light's daughters, thought the whole world was destroyed, and they thought the last people on earth were them. And it was only them and their father. So they were intimate with their father and had children. And they named their two children Amon and Mayav. Mayav means from my father, Mayav, the most embarrassing name in the world. They called the kid Mayav, Mayav, from my father. That's a crazy thing to do. Granted, you're the only people in the world. They felt their duty was to have children. But don't name the kid from my father. Hide it. Hide it. Asrei ish mechasa pishav. You're not supposed to announce wrongdoing. And they named the kid Mayav. And Amay means my people. Means hinting to the same thing. This yid made fun of Light's daughters. He like mocked them. They're such idiots. He started saying like terrible thing on Light's daughters. He said he had a dream. And two girls came to him who were shining. He described their visage, their look. They were shining. And they said to him that since you made fun of us, you're going to die. Your tongue, and the sin will be your tongue's going to, your tongue, because you spoke Lashon Hara, it's going to expand, you're going to die. We want to explain to you, we're both tzidkanias, we're righteous people. We named the kid Mayav, was a tzidka, so it was embarrassing for us. And we did it because we didn't want anybody to make a god out of them. People are going to say we were the only ones in the world. How'd we get expecting? That's happened later with these type of things with Yashka. So we said Mayav. It was from our father. Nobody should make an Avodah Zarah out of this. It was said because it was embarrassing to us. We made a tremendous disgrace, L'shem Shemayim. So I'm going to tell you the reason. Since you made fun of us, you're going to be Nifter. And he was Nifter. He told Ramesh, the Yid, his tongue was swollen. That's the sign they told him. And he was Nifter. And he told Ramesh the story, Yid in Luban in the 1920s. So I'm not here. I'm not saying to scare you. I'm saying it's silly to make fun. I'm not making fun of Nayach. It's not like trying to. It's a fascinating thing. Nobody comes on. Yonah comes to the city of Nineveh, and the whole city does tshuva.
What?
They all do tshuva. Just like, now the guys that you see how hard it is, Noach can't get one, Yonah gets a whole Goyish city. I do want to say this, a total aside, why was the city of Nineveh started? Why was it started, the city of Nineveh, Chevra? Great to see you, Yossi. Great to see you. Why was the city of Nineveh started, my friends? Who built, who's the name of the man who built the city of Nineveh? Ashur. Yeah. Ashur, if you look in Parshas Noach, the man who builds Nineveh, I'm going to read the Pasuk. Min ha'aretz ahi, from that city, Yotza Ashur, a man named Ashur, you know the name Ashur? A man named Ashur leaves the city, Vayivenes Nineveh, and he built Nineveh. Says Rashi, why did he build Nineveh? He leaves the city and builds his own city. Says Rashi, Vasepis, why did he build his own city? Avram. Says Rashi, Kivan Shura Ashur's Banav. Shimon, Umar din b'makim, Livnais Hamigdal, he saw his children listening to Nimrod. Nimrod was a Rasha. And Nimrod, whose name is Rebellion,
Mara.
Mered. Nimrod, who's a rebellious man and is fighting God, and he's promoting terrible things, this Rasha, and you have a guta mensch, Asher is a good person, and he sees his children impacted from Nimrod, from a Rasha. You have this charismatic, fiery Rasha, who's impacting people, l'ra, negative. Asher sees this, and he sees his kids getting corrupted. So he builds a city called Nineveh. He Yatza Mitaycham, and he built Nineveh. What was the purpose of the city of Nimrod? Of Nineveh? To get his kids away from Nimrod. So what was the purpose of the construction of the city of Nineveh? To get people to be closer to God. And Eureka, a thousand years, a long time later, thousands of years later, in the city of Nineveh, they do Averis. Yoina comes and give Musar, and they all do tshuva.
Wow.
To me, it's Pashat Chevra, that the original Machshava is very, very important. The very reason for the construction of the city was for the loyalty to Hashem. So it's in the city. It's huge in the city, the Machshava. I put a lot of value on the first thoughts. The first thoughts, whenever you start construction, Taiv Achris Dover Mereshisa. Good things at the end come from the beginning. When you start, then start with idealism. Think pure thoughts. I've asked Rebbeim in the yeshiva, the first meeting of the year, the start of the yeshiva. I remember the beginning when we started this mesifta. It was important to me not to have bad thoughts. Thoughts should be pure and precious. It matters what were the thoughts in starting the thing. When there's beautiful and sincerity and good idealism, good things come. The city of Nimrod, the city of Nineveh was founded to get his kids. Ashur, this human being, didn't want his kids impacted by Nimrod. And he starts a new city so his kids shouldn't be impacted by the bad Russia, Nimrod. And what happens in Nineveh? It's a place, even when people sin, they get Musa from the Navi and the whole city comes back to Hashem. The very construction of the city was for good reasons. It's a big thing. It's a big thing why something was built, what it was made for, and it affects the inhabitants. It was made L'Shem Shemayim. There's sincerity here. It was built for good purposes. That infects the people that live there amazingly.
Wow.
Right, Russ? It's Pashat. I once wanted a tiny this. I found Svarim that bring this tiny. You've seen this, right, Russ? Yosef, interesting, right? He have a city built. Why was Nineveh built? Martha, you hear this? You can look in the Pesukim in Noach. It's in Noach, Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Guys could check it out. I'm sorry, Perek Yud. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Yud Aleph. What was the who built Nineveh, Michal? Ashur. Why did he build Nineveh? Because his kids were being impacted by Nimrod. So he wanted them away from Nimrod. So the very construction of the city was idealistic. What happens years and years and years and years and years later, the people do averus, and one man comes and gives Musa, and they all do tshuva. The very construction of the city was built to bring people closer to God. It's in the city. Okay. Yeah, fair. That's a beautiful. Michal says, and God built the world.
Yeah,
I like that, Kasha. I like that. He said Hashem built the world with good intention. Why isn't that bring people to? Yeah.
Rav, was Nineveh?
I like the question.
And the Darfla was, and they got that was after.
Yeah. He built it before. It sounds like.
Cool.
Kitzer Chevra, like this Chevra. So we're discussing by Noach that he didn't build other people in the Teva. Avram Avinu, our parasha, Lech Lecha, this week's parasha, is a person who brings everybody onto his Teva. The story of Avram is a person who's Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. Avram gathers, in the Lashon of the Rambam, tens of thousands were gathered by Avram. Avram Avinu had worlds that were connected to him. And it's the spitz picture of he who's Mekarev, who brings closer. My Rebbe taught us about the idealism of Avram Avinu. That's what my Rebbe taught us. He always, watching my Rebbe himself, was a big idealist. He was somebody who looked at the world, and when I say an idealist, you didn't watch things and observe. It was on you to do something about it. My Rebbe built the yeshiva. My Rebbe learned Musar with people. He didn't watch the world and just a passive observer of the world. My Rebbe, there was a problem of men not giving gittin. My Rebbe got involved and did a lot to help people get their gittin. He was an idealist, there are people who observe events, and they sit at their Shabbos, they will, my Rebbe wasn't like that. He was like, what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? Let's do something. Let's get up and do. He was not a passive observer of the world. He taught us a lot about Avram. I could say my friends and I were moved by our Tata Avram. We come from Avram. And we were moved to be idealistic. He spoke a lot about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was the extreme idealist. He spoke a lot about the Chavetz Chaim, who remains, if there's a person, I named the son Yisrael Meir, I'm moved a lot. The Chavetz Chaim was an idealist. He comes from Avram Avinu. The Chavetz Chaim heard about an issue and he was busy with the entirety of our people.
Incredible.
So my Rebbe, besides being idealistic himself, would talk about idealistic people. We met, coming to yeshiva, people who were connected to him were idealistic. When I say see the idealists, I mean people who don't just observe the world, who recognize that Hashem wants us to take responsibility, that he wants us to do things, to do, and that's the opportunity of our lives, to do things, to get involved, to build, to create, l'sakin olam b'malcha shakai, not to be a passive observer, but to actively care and see, how can I make things better? Idealism. And this was the world my Rebbe gave to me and my friends. I like in yeshiva introducing guys and bringing down people who are idealistic. We're zeichet to have idealistic people here. To have rebbeim, dorm councils, people that are idealistic, not just shrugging and saying, "That's let's do something, let's create, let's make, let's fix, let's help, let's build," idealistic people. And I want to say about Rav Hauer, I want to say about this great person we lost, Rav Hauer. He's somebody I want, besides feeling that he should have a eulogy in yeshiva, because it would be weird and wrong not to speak about such a tzaddik, I also want you to meet him. I wish, and this is Gzeiros Hashem, I wish he would be here in person. Guys in yeshiva have met him at Simchas, but I feel my duty to tell you about him because I want you to meet an idealist, because I want guys here moved to make a difference, to think about our people. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk a little bit about this Rabbi Hauer as my way of introducing you posthumously, unfortunately. Tremendous Gzeiratar people, but to introduce you a little bit to somebody, Rabbi Hauer. We're Zeich and Yeshiva. There's somebody, Avi Walaski, who learned in this yeshiva, was a bacher in yeshiva, was a chavrus of mine, learned in the Beis Medrash, was here married in Kailol. I was zeich to be chavrus. I'm very, very close to Avi and his family. His family were very close talmidim. They were mispalim. They davened. Rav Hauer had a shul in Baltimore, and they davened by a shul, and we're extremely close. And I spoke, this might say Shabbos, I met Mr. Walaski in Rav Jerry in Eretz Yisrael, and we spoke about this staggering loss to our people. Rav Hauer was classy, was a dignified person, was a very classy, dignified. The way he spoke was beautiful. I was Zaychatian, it's Kedai. Listen online. He spoke in the White House to the Senate many times. He spoke. He had a tremendous gift of speech, clear, exact. Would say things beautifully. He was a Talmud Chacham, a serious, serious Talmud Chacham. And the couple of things I want to tell you, I want to speak about the ability to care about the entirety of our people. Here was a Lakewood-type person. His kids are Lakewooders. Talmidei Chachamim. Beautiful children. B'nai Torah. The finest B'nai Torah's kids. Lakewood Talmidei Chachamim. He himself learned in Er Yisrael. He was one of the heads, the vice president of the OU. He was running the OU. He had shaychus to Yidden. They would call, I don't like names, they would call Reform, this, that. He was close to all different Yidden. He would speak on behalf of our nation. It's funny, Eli, it's Hashkacha, Eli Okun walked in. Now, Eli Okun's family had shaychus to Rabbi Howard. I'm talking about Rabbi Howard, the tremendous loss. And the first thing I want to tell you about him is he's somebody who was idealistic and cared about the entirety of our people. Kol Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't a certain segment he was worried about. He was worried about all Yidden. He was a person of the Klal. He loved Am Yisrael. He loved our yeshiva. And I suspect what drew him, he cared and spoke about our yeshiva a lot. I suspect what drew him here is because the ideal of the yeshiva, Kol Yisrael, that we don't belong, it's not a certain part of Klal Yisrael. There's no this part and those, there's no us and them in Klal Yisrael. It's all us. And Rav Hauer was that type of tzaddik, was that type of Adam Gadol, a giant of a person, because it was Kol Yisrael, it was all of Klal Yisrael. He cared about our people tremendously. He advocated for our people. He spoke on behalf of our people. He was busy with all different, the OU was involved in aspects of our people. And Rav Hauer was a person of Kol Yisrael. So a massive Talmud Chacham, a tremendous Avos HaTorah. He was somebody who had tremendous midas, was a warm, caring. I was zeicher to get encouraged, to get such warm words and warm encouragement and appreciation from somebody who I feel was much bigger than me. The way he'd give kavod, the way he'd give respect and honor. After I spoke to him, I'd feel like $1 million. To somebody, I was intimidated, to be honest. He's a massive Talmud Chacham, a scholar, understood life, was a great speaker representing our people. The way he was mechabed, the way he gave respect to others, warmth and caring. I want guys here one day as you're getting married, as you're establishing families, to belong to a chabura. What he built in his shul was a beautiful chabura b'nei Torah. Dov Okun, Ellie's father, my friend Yitzi. I ate by Reb Yitzi Preder years ago in Baltimore, and he was hosting Reb Hauer as well. I was Zeichet Tid Shabbos. Were you there also that Shabbos? I was Zeichet Tid Shabbos. It could be your father was there also. It's possible. But we had a beautiful Shabbos by Reb Yitzi Preder. He had beautiful B'nai Torah who were Zeichet to be kosher, to be connected to the Rav. And influenced by the Rav and elevated by the Rav, he built a beautiful matzav in his shul. Something I want for the guys, as you're married, to belong to a chabura of people that are interested in growing, that are rallied around Torah and Avodas Hashem. He created such a matzav in Baltimore. He did that for many years until he was drafted by the OU. And he still stayed connected to the shul, but then he got very, very busy with the entirety of Klal Yisrael. But I wanted to share with you about a person who was idealistic, who worried about our people, he worried about the hostages, he worried about all of Klal Yisrael, and was busy advocating and speaking on behalf of our people and fighting for our people. So I wanted to tell you about such a yid who... This is the yid I want to tell you. His own shul, just speaking to Rav Jerry Walaski and describe and seeing a person who had a tremendous ava for his Rav, tremendously impacted by his Rav's Torah. He described me, Hashana Rabbanite. He would say a shir mechol for hours. He was a Talmud Chacham Muflag. Hashana Rabbanite, he said like a 3-4 hour shir. Say hours long shiurim different times. Somebody who energized his kehillah in avodas Hashem, in Torah, in beautiful things. So I wanted to share that. I hope maybe Eli will be able to bring somebody who could give us more details. I wanted to just tell you about a person who advocated for Klal Yisrael. He used his gifts, his intellect, his speaking abilities could have been used for put in many areas. He used it for the betterment of Klal Yisrael, for the plight of Klal Yisrael. I wanted to tell you about such an idealist. So... Maybe Ellie, you and I will figure out a way that we could bring somebody who could share more, even share some of his Torah, some Torah from him. Maybe we'll work on that, Ellie. That would be a good, maybe Rav Yitzi would come down. We'll see what we could do. But I want that guys could read up. Rav Lapiansky from Silver Spring wrote a beautiful appreciation about Rav Hauer and others. And you could look online. I advise guys to look up Rav Moshe Hauer. I could tell you my sons were looking up and hearing speeches from him were like totally blown away by a gifted, intelligent, warm, sophisticated person who advocated on behalf of Klal Yisrael. In the Megillah, it speaks about Mordechai HaTzadik was Dairish Toiv, sought the good of our people. That's what I would say on Rav Hauer. He sought the good on the entirety of our people. That's the statement I would make on him. Somebody who cared about the entirety of our people, sought good. I could say in a personal way from his warmth, his kindness, his kind words, his encouraging words, I benefited, and many, many other Yidden benefited from that. So I want that Yehi Zechrei Baruch, it should be his he should be a Melitz for the entire, he cared about the entirety of Klal Yisrael. He will certainly be a Melitz on behalf of the entirety of the people that he loved. Where's Avi Beiler? He asked for a specific song and he said somebody was going to sing it. But Shlomo was not here. Josh, he knows it also.
Avi, waiting for you.
Who knows this song, Avi? Shlomo knows it's going to be a different.
So you requested a song you don't know.
Avi.
Josh, glad. Where's Josh?
What's the song?
Which one?
Is Joshy here?
Avi, sing it for us.
I don't know. I don't know. What's the song?
What is it called?
Which one?
How about
No.
Okay. We'll get him.
Avi, sing it. You know well. Avi, sit down. Come.
The Torah, it's Kedai. I want to say something very good about Noach. I want to say Hashem is made on Noach that he's a tzaddik. And when you speak about Noach, you have to say amazing things. Hashem sent the marble to the world, but Noach survived. What makes somebody a tzaddik? The Rabbeinu Shlom's Meir on Noach is a tzaddik. So I want to tell you one detail. What's something we know about Noach? Why was he called Noach ever? What does Rashi say? Why was Noach called Noach? Noach was called Noach because Noach built something to make it easier for people. People had it. Noach invented. What item did Noach invent, Chevro? He built the table, that's true. What did he invent? What did he invent, Chevro? What item did Noach invent?
The plow.
The plow. Noach, that was a Yid invented. Noach invented the plow. And the plow. He invented the plow. The plow is when you want to fields in order to grow properly, you have to turn over the dirt. And before Noach was a big field, you had to do. He invented the large plow that animals can pull. It turns over the field and lets it easier to grow things. And Noach's the one. He's called Noach. Noach means to make it easier. Noach means accepted. Easier. And Noach made it easier for people. Noach and his whole invention was to make it easier, more comfortable for people, to make it easier. So it's interesting. On the man we know is a tzaddik, Hashem's made as a tzaddik. One of the pieces of information we know about him is he made things to make people's plight easier. That's what Noach did. What do you say?
I feel like all inventions make things easier for people.
I would suspect, Yud, if I was a guessing man, that was his intention. We talk about intention, that he thought of that. That Noach did this with intention. That it wasn't just the derech agav, that if somebody invents something and makes it easier, maybe somebody's doing it to make money, to get rich, which is also a nice thing. My suspicion that his name was Noach is that Noach came, that he saw people's plight and wanted to make it easier. Right. No, it could be became rich. I don't want to change the story. It wouldn't bother me if he became rich or not on it. Noach's intention was Noach, to make it easier for people. Could be that's why that's certainly, if we're taught somebody Hashem's made, he's a tzaddik. And his very name speaks about an invention to make it easier for people. Pasha, to make it easier for people to live here. So that's that. Then perhaps we have a sense of what makes a tzaddik. Somebody whose goal and job and drive is to make it easier for people. That's one thing. What else do we know happened by Noach? When Noach was born, beforehand the world was producing not the Adama. There was some Ur, and it wasn't producing Gishmaka things. And Noach was born, good things started coming out of the ground. Better produce started coming out of the ground. He brought bracha to the world. What we know, Noach, Chazal say, was Noilad Mahol. He was born with the Bris Milah. Noach, it says, was Noilad Mol. He was born with the Bris Milah. He brought bracha to the world. He was somebody who lived with Hashem. It was Noach Sadik. He lived with Hashem. He brought tremendous bracha to the world. It's interesting, when Noach's born, all of a sudden the ground starts producing nice things. And what did they see? He's Noilad Mol. He's born Mol. And I think what Noach brought to the world is that a person could live with Hashem comfortably and successfully. That's the inyan of Mila. The inyan of Mila on a person's body is you could live with Hashem. That a person could live comfortably and successfully with Hashem. Hashem says to Avram Avinu by the Bris Mila, Hisalech lefanai ve'yasamim, walk with me. Walk lefanai and be samim. The Bris Mila says that we have an ois in our body, a person's capable of living with Hashem. Noach's born Mahol, and Eureka, all of a sudden the world starts producing beautiful fruits. A person can successfully live with Hashem. That's the very ice that Noach had in his body. He brought to the world somebody who lived successfully with Hashem, who made things easier for others, who made people's lessons, people's plight, made people's situations more tolerable, more manageable, more pleasant. That's what we know about Noach. Noach is tzaddik, is a tzaddik. So I want to say these good things about Noach because it's true. I want to express that we come from Avram Avinu. We come from Noach. Avram is called our father, Avram Avinu. The mid of Avram, what we see repeatedly in the Torah about Avram, is somebody who cared about the world, who was Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. He called to others, a tremendous idealism. So I wanted to share that we're B'nai Avram, we come from Avram. We're people who are idealistic. We don't look at the world and just shrug and just say there are problems. We actually are people that come from Avram Avinu, that try and are gifted by Hashem with the possibility of becoming shutfim with Hashem, of really encouraging and fixing and helping. That's the possibility of a human being. The B'nai Avram are people that tap into this, and L'sakin Olam B'malcha Shakai, that come and create and fix and bring. That's the possibility of being the B'nai Avram. I was extremely happy. My Rebbe wrote a book about his own father. And in the book about his father, my Rebbe said something about his father. And I had said, before I saw my Rebbe's book, I had said that about my Rebbe. When I think back to what my Rebbe gave, and Avram, we're going to talk a lot about Avram in the next few weeks, Bez Hashem. We're going to talk about Avram Avinu. One of the things my Rebbe gave me and my friends is Avram became our father. Before Avram, there was a pasuk in Chumash. Avram's our father. We're shayach to Avram. We have the DNA of Avram. We come from Avram Avinu. A person's supposed to ask himself, Ad masay gia maisei l'maisei avaisei. We're b'nei Avram. We come from somewhere. We have a shtick of Avram inside of us. The Maharal says, Magin Avram, Hashem shields Avram. It means the Avram that's inside of every single person. We're b'nei Avram. We come from Avram Avinu. When my Rebbe spoke about the Avos, I remember Parshas Lech Lecha was a big deal. Avram shows up. Avram Avinu shows up. Avram Mamish came to Yeshiva, he showed up. My Rebbe wrote about his own father that in his house, by the parshias of the weeks of Avram, the Tata Avram came and described that the Avais and the stories of Chumash were very real people that we're shayach to, that we have, these are giants, but we come from them means we're shayach to them. It means we have the possibility. We daven Tashem, and we've sang this song a lot this year. We daven Tashem, and we say, Bris Avais Labanim Tizkar. Hashem, the Bris with the Avais, remember for the children. And certainly it's a prayer to Hashem that the Bris you made with the Avais, Labanim Tizkar, remember for the children. I want to express that the children should remember that the Bris Avais is relevant to us. The Bris Avais, all the treaties Hashem made with the Avais are shayach to us. So as much as we daven, and certainly we daven to Hashem, Bris Avais Labanim Tizkar, it's our job also to remember that the Bris of the Avais is shayach to us. It's very moving to go to a Bris of a grandson, and to hear the father say, Lachnisai, to thank Hashem, Lachnisai b'Bris shel Avram Avinu, to bring him into the Bris of Avram. You made treaties and deals and connections to Avram that are very, very true to the children and remain powerfully true to us. So the things we're going to study in Avram Avinu, all the things we're going to study Be'ez Hashem in Avram Avinu are extremely shayach to us. They're connected to us. So Be'ez Hashem, I'm looking forward to studying more, to studying about Avram in the coming days, to learning about the idealism of Avram Avinu. These two parashas were right in the middle of now. Nayach Avram Avinu is born at the end of Parashas Nayach to Parashas Lech Lecha, the first challenge of Avram Avinu's life. Be'ez Hashem, we're going to study these psukim. We'll continue Be'ez Hashem more tomorrow. Yashar Koyach Evra.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Iyun shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maor Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS, that's 203-312-7427, or email info@shasilluminated.org.